Kripal gave only this message, and even the wind also teaches us this. If you keep walking while doing the Simran, the destination comes to you by itself. This is the Bhajan Kripal Yahi Sandesha Data on page 203. The fort of deceit will be destroyed in this world because walls of sand do not last. There are so many sins with you. You are a great sinner. Hail the power of Almighty Kripal, who carries all the burden. No one is an enemy. No one belongs to anyone else. Everyone is your very own. For as the Gurbani teaches, all this world was created from one light. O Guru Kripal, the negative power trembles, and death also is nervous in front of whoever has caught hold of your finger. Ajayb says, apologize to Kripal if your soul wants happiness. Kripal gave only this message, and even the wind also teaches us this. If you keep walking while doing the Simran, the destination comes to you by itself. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 203.
Simran karte chale chalo to manjil khud mil jati hai kripal yahi sandesh deta hav yahi sikhlati hai simran karte chale chalo to Manjila kuda mila jati hai Chala fareb ke kile ek dina Duniya mein de jate hai Chala fareb ke kile ek dina Duniya mein de jate hai Re कभी नहीं टिक पाती है रेत की दीवार देर तक कभी नहीं टिक पाती है सिमरन करते चले चलो तो मंजिल कुट मिल जाती है Kripal yahi sandesh deta hav yahi sikhlati hai simran karte chale chalo to manjil khud mil jati hai itne sare paap sat mein इतने सारे पापी है इतने सारे पाप साथ में इतने सारे पापी है कृपाल तक था तेरी जय हो सब कपारा उठाती है कृपाल तक ता तेरी जय हो सब कपारा उठाती है सिमरन करते चले चलो तो मंजिल कुछ मिल जाती है कृपाल यही संदेश देता सिमरन करते चले चलो तो मंजिल खुद
sava apana he. Nako I veri nahi vegana. Jo bi he sava apana he. Ekanura se sava jaga upajo. Kurubani batalati he. Ekanura se sava jaga upajo. Gurubani batalati he. Simaran karate chale chaloto. Majila kuta mila jati he. Kirapalaya hi sandesha deta. Avaya hi sikalati he. Simaran karate chale chaloto. Majila kuta mila jati he. Guru kirpala tumhari ungali tam rakhi he jisne bhi. Guru kirpala tumhari ungali tam rakhi he jisne bhi. Usaka aga kal kapata oramota gabarati. Ajaiba kirpala to mangala mapi. Ajaiba kirpala to mangala mapi. Jejindari sukha chahati hai. Simaran karate chale chalo to. Manjila guda mila jati hai. Kirpala yahi sandesha deta. Avaya hi sikalati hai. Simaran karate chale chaloto. Manjila kuda mila jati hai.
Wow. Bhutacha. Eek. Does my heart good. No one is an enemy. No one belongs to anyone else. Everyone is your very own. For as the Gurbani teaches, all this world was created from one light. Kripal gave only this message, and even the wind also teaches us this. If you keep walking while doing the Simran, the destination comes to you by itself. Today, of course, is the 75th anniversary of Baba Sawan Singh's departure from the physical plane. So the satsang today will be in his memory. And Sanchi, you know, used to say, we have satsang every day, but nothing new is ever talked about. And this material that I'm going to be reading today has been around a long time, and many of us will be familiar with it. But it's very good sometimes to reacquaint ourselves with things that we have been aware about and aware of. First of all, I want to read a couple of selections from Sawan Singh's letters about how he came to the path and his relationship with his guru, Baba Jamal Singh. I'm reading from Master Kripal's biography of Baba Jamal Singh, which quotes from these letters. I was fond of satsang and paramart, spirituality, from my very childhood. I often associated with sadhus and religious people, and this in part was because my father was fond of sadhu seva. Then, while in service, I studied Vedanta and discussed Vedanta with people, especially with the sadhus, who on their way to Kashmir stayed at a dharamsala, a rest house, near my house. Later I was transferred to Murray Hills. One day as I was supervising my work, I saw an old Sikh going up a hill along with a middle-aged lady. When I noticed him, I thought he had probably come in connection with some case in the commissioner's court. Little did I think that he was to be my master. He was no other than Babaji himself, and the lady was Bibi Ruko. This I did not know at the time, but found out later, that Babaji said to Bibi Ruko, referring to me, "It is for his sake that we have come here," to which Bibi Ruko replied, "But he's not even greeted you." Babaji said to her, "What does the poor fellow know yet? On the fourth day from this, he will come to us." On the fourth day, I went to attend satsang. Babaji was at that time explaining the meaning of Japji Sahib. Well, I started my volley of questions, so much so that the audience got tired and began to feel restless at the large number of questions I had put. The sacred book Sarbachan was lying there, and I objected to the name of Radhaswami, and Babaji explained from the book itself what Radhaswami meant. Radha at Surat Kanam, Swami at Sabad Nijdam. Radha is the name of the first or primal ray of consciousness. Swami is the original source of the stream of Shabad. Now he wanted to point out the way, but I had read Vedanta. When I read Gurbani, my opinion was different. When I read Gita, my opinion was again different, and I was unable to come to a decision. Last, I applied for 8 days' leave to enable me to study the teachings of Babaji. He advised me to read Kabir Sahib's Anurag Sagar. I immediately ordered 8 copies of this book from Bombay so that I could also give some to my friends, Baba Hari Ram, Gulab Singh, etc., to read and comment on it. After several conferences with Babaji, I was thoroughly convinced and received initiation from him on the 15th day of October in 1894. And Master Kripal Singh comments on the letters, "What follows is a moving tale of devotion and obedience on the one hand, and ineffable love and grace on the other. The letters exchanged between the master and the disciple catch something of the esoteric beauty of this tale. In these we learn of the step-by-step guidance afforded by the guru to the disciple who has surrendered himself completely to his will, and the bizarre and miraculous way in which his protective hand helps him at every turn." There were 2 particular incidents that Baba Sawan Singh was particularly fond of relating to his audiences to exemplify the greatness of Babaji and the blessing of having a Puran Guru, or true master. We quote again from his letters. 1. "It was my habit to catch hold of the mane of my horse and jump upon it while it was going by. But my servant, in my absence and without my knowledge, had cut the horse's mane. I didn't notice that, and as I grabbed for the mane, my hand slipped and I fell down and broke my leg. The fracture was painful, no doubt, but much more painful was the fact that I could neither defecate nor urinate. The doctors even thought it might be difficult for me to survive. A Mohammedan overseer belonging to my district, coming to know of this accident, came to me and said, 'I am your own man, a sort of family member. I belong to your place. Tell me, please, how can I help you?' I said, 'My children are studying as boarders in a school about 8 miles from this place. I do not want them to know of this accident, but I should like you to send a telegram to Maharaji.' He sent the telegram, and when Babaji received it, he said, 'Well, if the master wants to take him away, he may, for at least he has got Nam. But my sister in faith, Bibi Ruko, pleaded for me with Babaji. It was Babaji's practice to sit in meditation or to go into meditation when there was expectation of anything important happening, and then to give out whatever information he received within. He sat in meditation at 8 p.m. or earlier, whenever the information was received by telegram. At about 3 a.m., he called Bibi Ruko and she asked, "Shall I bring you food now?" He had not taken his evening meal. Babaji replied, "No, but you asked something about Bhai Sawan Singh. Now you can inform Sawan Singh that he is not going, but the karmas were very heavy. It was ordained that he had to suffer for 5 years, but now we will settle the karmas in 5 months. Is that not something? We shall not go to him just now, but after he has been discharged from the hospital. In the meantime, you may acknowledge receipt of his telegram." And the moment Babaji's telegram was received, I could pass stools in urine. Saints show their mercy, but they never talk about it. Now, while I was reduced to this condition, I had to suffer from the monetary point of view also. I lost my subdivisional allowance, my horse allowance, and half my pay also. The chief engineer was very kind to me. He said, "If only you could come to office every day in a sedan chair, I would consider you on duty." But I was very doubtful and feared that my leg being still weak, I might slip and have another accident. The chief engineer thereupon allowed me 1 month's leave. I wondered if I would be fit to work after 1 month. The next morning I saw the commanding engineer and he said, "Now you are going for only 1 month." Prior to this, Babaji came to see me and told me that I would be absent from duty for only 1 more month, but it was hard for me to believe it. At last the month passed and a letter was received from Babaji stating, "We people have not come into this world to do our own work. We have come here by the orders of Maharaji, Swamiji. If he likes, he will get the work out of us." It is impossible to describe the reach of the power of the saints. I am sure if the Guru wants, he can make even the stones carry out his work. And the second letter, "Babaji used to be very kind to me, and whenever I came to visit him, he would give me a place in his own room. Once I got down from the Bayas station at 12 o'clock at noon. It was very hot, and I sat down under a tree for a while. Then I felt that I had come for Babaji's darshan. Yet here I was seeking comfort and delaying that meeting with the Beloved. Even worldly lovers have done much better. The thought troubled me. So I started on foot from the station to the Dera. At the Dera, Babaji Maharaj, who was very sensitive to heat, came out and began to pace the open courtyard before his room. Bibi Rukho remonstrated and requested him to go inside his room out of the hot sun, but he would not. A few minutes before I reached the Dera, he went in, and then Bibi Rukho, seeing me coming, exclaimed, "Oh, now I see why Babaji was walking in the hot sun. He had himself absorbed some of that extreme heat so that I would not be overcome by it on the way. There are so many wonderful things about Babaji that if I go on relating them for 100 years, it would not be possible to finish them all." And I want to read a couple of sections from Master Kripal's brief biography of Baba Sawan Singh. He's speaking of Sawan Singh, he says, "He loved all, even atheists. Once when he was posted at Murray Hills, an atheist who was suffering from tuberculosis and was advised to sojourn in the hills by his doctors came to Murray Hills. He knocked at every door for accommodation, but found them all closed. Nobody was willing to take him in. First, because of the highly infectious disease he was suffering from, and also because he didn't believe in God. He came to the residence of Hazur Maharaji, who was away on duty at the time. He asked the housekeeper for accommodation and was refused. It so happened that Hazur Maharaji, Baba Sawan Singh, was just then returning home and saw the man being turned away from his house. He asked the housekeeper about it and was told that it was a tuberculosis patient asking for accommodation whom nobody was willing to take in. 'And what did you say?' asked Hazur. 'I also refused him, for he was an atheist,' said the housekeeper. Azur Maharaj told him, "Look here, this man may not know that God resides in him, but we know it, don't we? Please give him accommodation." And then Master says, Kripal says, "Many seemingly miraculous things can happen around a true master. I saw many amazing incidents through being connected with Azur Maharaji, from which I will tell of two. In the Holy Bible it is written that Jesus Christ gave sight to the blind. In the early 30s in Rawalpindi, a lady lost her eyesight, and after consultation with the best specialist, it was found that the optical nerves had shriveled and there was no hope of recovering the sight. She could see nothing, though outwardly there seemed to be no difference. Inwardly, however, she was constantly enjoying the darshan of Baba Sao and Singhji and was therefore not at all dismayed. 2 days of blindness passed, and on the third day I was sitting with her and her husband when she said, 'The master and another man are discussing something. The gentleman is beseeching Azur, saying, Azur, have mercy, please give her sight back. Now Azur is saying, all right, all right.' The lady's husband, sitting with closed eyes, suddenly saw a brilliant light, and at exactly that time the lady, who was lying on the bed, got up and ran across the room, saying, 'I can see, I can see.' In an apparently magical way, her eyesight had been restored." And the lady, of course, was Bibi Hardevi, also known as Taiji, the wife of Rajaram. And Bibi Hardevi has since confirmed that the gentleman who interceded for her was Kripal Singh himself. There is also an account in the Bible of Jesus feeding 5,000 people with a little bread in a basket, each one being fully fed and satisfied. Azur used to visit his hometown from time to time, usually accompanied by hundreds of followers, and there was always a free kitchen arrangement for them. On one visit, there was a huge group of Akali Sikhs camped nearby for some special celebration. The Akali Sikhs were extreme fundamentalists, very right-wing believers. These Akalis were against Baba Sao and Singh's teaching, so they planned to bring disgrace upon him by going to his free kitchen after the meal had finished and the kitchen closed. Nearly 300 of them sat down outside the kitchen door and demanded that food be served to them immediately. Someone told me what had happened, and I hurried to the kitchen to find there was just half a basket of bread. I called the cook and told him to light the fires and make more bread, but the 300 people outside started shouting for food. Just then Azur entered the kitchen and said, "Kripal Singh, why are you not giving them food?" I replied, "Azur, there's only half a basket full of bread. How can I feed 300 people with that? We have to make more." Baba Sao and Singh smiled and said, "Fear not, but cover the basket with a cloth and go on serving the bread." I did as Azur had instructed, and the 300 men ate and ate until they could eat no more. And when the meal was finished, there was still the same amount of bread left as there had been at the start. And Master goes on in this account to talk about miracles. You know, he says, "Very often considered that miracles are just stories invented out of the imagination. But in fact, very few people know what a miracle truly is. The word itself literally means things which astonish. Coleridge says that the fact that Christ performed miracles was verification that he was carrying out his Father's orders. Locke says that miracles are like a letter of promise from God, which saints and avatars bring with them to this world. The common man does not know how such happenings are performed and calls them miracles, which actually shows his ignorance of the real facts. In the Patanjali Sutra of Maharishi Patanjali, in the third stanza, verses 50-51, it is written that creating worldly things like curing the sick, making barren women fertile, producing precious gems, etc., are called riddhis and siddhis, and performing these things beset the way of perfection. It is no proof of perfection. For he who goes into samadhi, the state of leaving the body at will, such things are like plucked flowers scattered before and behind him on his path. A true pilgrim in search of God will never stoop to pick them up. So-called miracles are merely a child's play, which can be done by focusing the mind to a single point. All perfect masters are in control of these powers, but do not work through them. Of course, we have just heard two instances where the master has worked through them, but the point is, when they have a reason to do it from their own point of view, they can do it, but they don't do it to convince anybody or to show that they are the master or to hit somebody over the head with their power. They do it only when there is a real reason to do it from the point of view of both the master and the person to whom the miracle is done. Kripal gives a illustration of another incident in which masters did a miracle, and he says, Maulana Rumi was a teacher, and he first met his master Shamas Debrayes when he was giving a lesson to a number of children. Hazrat Shamas Debrayes approached and asked, What is this? Maulana Rumi replied, This is that knowledge of which you know nothing. Shamas Debrayes kept quiet. Of course, Shamas Debrayes came on as a very, like a tramp or a hobo or a very outsider type person. He was not well dressed and he was not considered very respectable. And Maulana Rumi was a very respected teacher at this point. He was not yet a Maulana, but he was a Maulvi, which means teacher. So there was a certain amount of disdain in Maulana Rumi's reply. Shamas Debrayes kept quiet, but when the boys left for the break period, he took all the books and slates and threw them into a nearby pond. When Maulana Rumi returned with the boys, they demanded to know where their books were. Shamas Debrayes took them to the pond and one by one took out the books, but astonishingly they were all dry. Maulana Rumi, his eyes wide open with surprise, said, What is this? Shamas Debrayes replied, This is that knowledge of which you know nothing. As is well known, Maulana Rumi later became the disciple of Shamas Debrayes and eventually succeeded him in mastership. What I want to impress about this subject is that miraculous happenings are merely the fruit of concentrated attention, and that true masters do not give them any importance because they have gone far past this stage. Hafiz Saab says, Do not mention miracles to me, because I have crossed that stage, and I am where such things are not necessary. And I want to read another section. Azur used to say, All religions and all countries are mine, and I love them equally. His innate desire was to bring together all the religions on a common platform and to knit together the entire humanity in one thread, and then to put them all onto the one ancient path of spirituality, which leads to the common goal of all religions. He said, The essentials of all religions are the same. God is one. All humanity are his children and are thus related as brothers and sisters. The whole creation is just a manifestation of that one reality, one soul that stretches its force and influence everywhere, one light spreading its radiance in the entire universe, one sun that shines upon each atom. Why then all this discord and disharmony in the world? The passion of hatred and animosity, which has led to the bloodshed of hundreds and thousands of innocent souls, is certainly the outcome of wrong interpretation and degeneration of the ways of living. The one successful method to check this storm of reckless devastation and vandalism and to unite the whole mankind into one universal brotherhood is that sensible and conscious leaders and heads of all sects, instead of concentrating their activities in their own limited narrow circles, should meet at one place to educate and inculcate the common principles of religion, namely exalted noble character, emanating from oneness of soul. We are all souls. We are indwellers of the house, the body, and not the body itself. Thus, by rectifying the condition of the indweller, all the rest of the bodily concerns can surely be improved in the right manner. No religion permits the immolation of women or the killing of persons. But alas, what man has done with man is too scandalous to be put on record. After the partition of this country, the people in the name of religion polluted the chastity of women and killed hundreds of thousands of innocent persons. If all this gruesome and ghastly dance of death cannot serve to open our eyes, we cannot possibly mend ourselves. If we had a grain of feeling in us, we ought to hang our heads in shame. There are, however, a few awakened souls among us, but these are very rare, and such rendered a valuable yeoman service in those most trying and troubled times. I would like to relate a couple of instances of Hazur in those days. Hazur was physically ailing, for the body alone is subject to diseases, and the great souls very often vicariously take upon themselves the people's burden of karmic action. During partition days, when passions were running high, some Muslims came to Hazur for protection. He lovingly kept them in the dera. In September 1947, Hazur planned to go to Amritsar. When I went to see him with the hope of accompanying him to Amritsar, Hazur bade me remain at dera and look after the comforts of the dera people and the Muslims, according to the exigencies at the moment. A Muslim caravan was to leave that day for Pakistan. Hazur therefore enjoined me to escort the Muslims of the dera to that caravan. It so happened that a torrential downpour of rain came on that day. Hazur felt a deep agony and said, "Our Muslim brethren are in a very poor plight, but we have no sympathy for them in our heart." As Hazur started for Amritsar, he saw a huge crowd of Muslims near Bayas railway station. A soldier was in the car with him, and in spite of his protests, Hazur ordered the car to be taken right to the Muslim horde and pulled it up just in their midst. He called for the leader of the Muslim caravan and with tears in his eyes said, "I have in the dera a few Muslim brethren and would very much like to see them safely escorted across the border." Such indeed are the acts of high-souled saints. His heart was full of compassion and pity for the suffering humanity. In the evening, a truckload of Muslims prepared to join the evacuees on the march, when all of a sudden I heard the news that a band of armed Akalis had gathered near dera and intended to raid it and massacre the Muslims. All alone I went to them, full of confidence in Hazur's munificence and greatness. A few of the Akalis with spears and spades blocked my way. I said to them, "These helpless brethren have come to Hazur for protection. It behooves the Khalsas to extend the protection that they seek. The spirit of the Khalsa requires, no, demands, that those who seek mercy must be given mercy. You had better hug them to your bosom." Hearing these words, a couple of aged Akalis came forward and said, "You have this day saved the Khalsas from what would otherwise have been a great sacrilege and heinous crime of taking away the life of so many of these poor souls. We shall not now touch a hair of these people." All this transformation from a bloodthirsty mood to that of sympathy and fellow feeling came through the grace of Hazur. As the truck was about to pass by the Akalis, I stopped it and said, "These brethren of ours are today quitting their hearths and homes, not because of any hatred toward us, but are being driven to it by sheer necessity. We have all these years been living together in peace and concord. Will it not be good if we bid goodbye to them with loving embraces? This touched them to the core. In an instant I found the two, Akalis and Muslims, hugging each other with tears streaming down their cheeks, the two who just a short while before were anxious to cut each other's throats. No religion permits manslaughter or genocide. We indulge in these things because we are taught the wrong way, and rebellion is used as a smokescreen for the perpetration of terrible deeds to serve selfish ends. There are instances on record wherein Muslims also saved the lives of Hindus and vice versa. The fact remains that whosoever has learned the true import of his religion has an all-embracing love for the entire humanity and is not torn by sectional and communal love. It is said, O man of wisdom, Moses, thou wert sent to knit people unto me, God, and not to lead my people away from me. Once a shepherd boy, leading his goats to pasture in a meadow, sat under a tree and lovingly began to commune with God in this wise. O God, I wish that both of us should live side by side. I shall not make thee discomfortable. Shouldst thou fall ill, I shall attend thee day and night. Shouldst thou get tired, I shall massage thy hands and feet. I shall bring thee barley bread and spinach to eat, and give thee goat's fresh milk to drink. I shall pick up lice from thy hair, and give thee a hair wash with milk and curd. The shepherd boy was deeply absorbed in these thoughts when the prophet Moses passed that way. He shouted at the boy and said, O fool, why art thou blaspheming? God is altogether unlike thee. Shall not eat thy barley bread and spinach, nor shall he ever fall ill or get lice in his head. The boy was stunned to hear this, began to tingle in every nerve, and inquired, Perhaps I'm wrong. I ought not to have talked like this. Will the great God be annoyed with me? With these thoughts within him, he began to cry. As he sobbed, he felt comforted and in harmony with the higher power. In that blissful state, he had a vision of God. The celestial visitant consoled him with the words, I shall accept all thy offerings, for I am well pleased with thee. In the meanwhile, Moses, having reached the heights of Mount Sinai, sat in meditation and felt within him the voice of God saying, O Moses, I am thoroughly annoyed with thee. Thou art guilty of breaking the heart of that shepherd boy who is communing with me with all love and affection. The prophet was surprised and said, O God, his words were not of love, but were blasphemous. The great God replied, Thou knowest that the world of that boy contained nothing else but barley bread, spinach, goat's milk, and lice. I gave thee wisdom, and hadst thou utilized it, thou wouldst not have spoken like this. I sent thee into the world that thou mayest knit to me those who are separated from me, and not that thou shouldst rend asunder loving hearts that are one with me. Azur possessed this attribute in great abundance. He would unite thousands of people in one common brotherhood. All of us that are assembled here belong to that great fraternity into which Azur bound us together. We must not only live in peace and harmony, but have love and affection for all humanity. This will only be possible when one understands the true import of Azur's teachings. Generally, when such high souls pass away, the following degenerates. Petty-mindedness creeps in, and we begin worshipping mammon and sin. Azur used to tell us that when a high soul comes into the world, the worshippers of wealth and women also gather around him. Hence he said, Whatever a person asked of me, I granted. He who wanted riches got riches. He who wished for lands was given lands. Those who wanted me alone got me in abundance. And one final reading, which is Master Kripal's message on April 2nd, 1967, for this anniversary of Baba Sawan Singh's leaving. He says, "Dear children, on this auspicious day of the blessed memory of my master Baba Sawan Singh Ji Maharaj, I send you my hearty message. You have been put on the broad way back to God. If you want to develop on the way of new life, you should be broad-minded and be not intolerant. You should not behave like a frog in the well, but give the hand of fellowship to all working for the common cause of the Master and rise above petty considerations to the heights of life through the power of inner silence brought about by meditation. Try to dive deep into the depths of the heart and avoid superficial life. This can only be activated by love, selfless service, and sacrifice for the higher purpose of life. A dedicated life knows no burdens or sufferings. He lives for God's work, and as such leads a life of detachment. There are two ways, one leading to life and the other to destruction, called Sharimarg and Pirimarg. Pirimarg relates to objective life and appears all beautiful and easy to follow, but it results in hatred and malevolence, rigid ideology, and obsessive self. The way of Sharimarg lies in developing inner silence, which is harder to find. It is an uphill task and takes hard work of mind and body and purification of spirit. When you will become broad-minded and have risen to the heights of life by sacrificing everything, you will find a vision of the Lord working in all alike, in saints and sinners, in all humanity and in all creation, in all birds and beasts, in all religions, in all scriptures and in all prophets. In silence we test ourselves to find weaknesses to be weeded out. We have to wrestle with darkness and develop moral muscles and receive the message of the Spirit. We must be, for some time at least, alone with God. When we enter more and more into silence, our desires will be eliminated, purity attained, and the body and the mind sanctified, and we taste the elixir of Nam Divine and know how sweet the name is. In silence the heart illumines, veil after veil is removed. In the heart shineth the light, and the very silence becomes vocal, giving vent to the music of the spheres, reverberating in all creation. When the light is seen shining within your heart and the music of the spheres becomes audible, you behold the light in all. That is, outside, you see the one light in all. This is the universal vision, that the one is in all and all are in one. Blessed is he, the man of illumination, for wherever he be, he dwelleth with the one eternal. Such is a blessed one who belongeth not to this color or caste or creed. He belongeth to all. The great mystic Rumi says, "I am neither Christian nor Jew, neither Gaber nor Turk. I am not of the East, I am not of the West, not of the land am I, not of the sea. I belong to the soul of the Beloved. I have seen that the two are one. And one I see, and one I know. One I see, one I adore. He is the first, and he is the last. He is the outward, and he is the inward too. This is the ultimate goal before each one of you. I wish all who care to achieve this goal. All feasible help of the Master will be at hand. With all love to each one of you, yours affectionately, Kripal Singh."
ਭੱਟਾ ਨੇ ਕਿਹਾ ਸੀਗਾ ਕਿ ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਨੇ ਸੰਸਾਰ ਵਿੱਚ ਆ ਕੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਹੀਂ ਦੇਖਿਆ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਅੱਖਾਂ ਨਾਲ, ਉਹਨੇ ਹੋਰ ਕੀ ਦੇਖਿਆ ਸੰਸਾਰ ਵਿੱਚ.
The Bhats, who were the disciples of the Sikh Gurus, had said that those who have not seen the master in this world, they have seen nothing.
ਗੁਰੂ ਅਰਜਨ ਦੇਵ ਤਾਂ ਇੱਥੋਂ ਤੱਕ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੀ ਮਹਿਮਾ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਤਿੰਨ ਜਨਮ ਸਵਾਰਿਆ ਆਪਣਾ ਜਿਨ ਗੁਰ ਅੱਖੀ ਦੇਖੀ.
Guru Arjan Dev Ji Maharaj goes so far in glorifying the master by saying that those who have seen the master with their own eyes, they have made their human birth successful.
To Swami Ji Maharaj eh shabd de andar guru di mehma khoob ga rahe hai. Gaur na sunn wala unhan da sab shabd hai, ek ek lafz agar assi apne gale to niche utariye te saadi zindagi.
So Swami Ji Maharaj sings the glory of the master in this brief hymn. Listen to this with much attention. Every single word written in this hymn is very valuable, and if we swallow every single word, it can change our life.
Satguru Bhakti Bachan 18th Shabad 4th Santan di Bani Panna 22 Guru Charan Pakad Dred Pai गुर का संग करो बनाई गुर बचन करो आधारा गुर दर्श निहारो सारा
स्वामी जी महाराज बड़े प्यार ना कहंदे है ਕਿ ਸਭ ਤੋਂ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਕੀ ਕਰੋ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਜੋ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਗੁਰੂ ਜੁਗਤੀ ਦੱਸਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਸਿਮਰਨ ਕਰਕੇ ਫੈਲੇ ਹੋਏ ਖਿਆਲ ਨੂੰ ਅੱਖਾਂ ਦੇ ਪਿੱਛੇ ਲਿਜਾ ਕੇ ਸੂਰਜ ਚੰਦਰਮਾ ਸਿਤਾਰੇ ਪਾਰ ਕਰਕੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੇ ਚਰਨਾਂ ਤੱਕ ਪਹੁੰਚਣਾ ਹੈ.
ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸੇਸ ਵੈਰੀ ਲਵਿੰਗਲੀ ਦੈਟ ਫਸਟ ਆਫ ਆਲ ਵਾਟ ਯੂ ਸ਼ੁੱਡ ਡੂ ਫਸਟ ਆਫ ਆਲ ਦ ਇੰਸਟਰਕਸ਼ਨਸ ਵਿਚ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਹੈਜ਼ ਗਿਵਨ ਟੂ ਯੂ ਅਕੋਰਡਿੰਗ ਟੂ ਦੋਜ਼ ਇੰਸਟਰਕਸ਼ਨਸ ਡੂ ਦ ਸਿਮਰਨ. Bring your attention behind the eyes and rising above the stars, moon, sun, you have to reach the feet of the master within.
Asi baarle charnan nu bhi nimshkar karde hain, baarle charan bhi santan de bade pavitra hunde hai, jis dharti te pae jaan ohnu pavitra kar dinde hai. ਆਪ ਪਿਆਰ ਨਾਲ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਸਾਧ ਚਰਨ 68 ਸੇ ਉੱਤਮ ਭੂਮ ਪਵਿੱਤਰ ਯਹਾਂ ਭਗਤ ਅਰਦੇ.
We bow down at the outer feet of the master also, because they are also very precious, very valuable. The place where the perfect masters put their feet, that place becomes worth worshipping. It becomes the place of pilgrimage. He says that the place where the perfect masters lay their feet, it is more holy, more precious than the 68 places of pilgrimage.
ਲੇਕਿਨ ਸੰਤਾਂ ਦੀ ਜੋ ਮਰਾਦ ਜੋ ਸੰਤਾਂ ਦਾ ਮਕਸਦ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਹੈ ਨਾਮ ਦੁਆਰੇ ਖਾਲੀ ਕਰਕੇ ਅੱਖਾਂ ਪਿੱਛੇ ਆ ਕੇ ਸੰਤਾਂ ਦੇ ਨੂਰੀ ਚਰਨਾਂ ਤੱਕ ਪਹੁੰਚਣਾ, ਜਿਸ ਦੀ ਤੁਲਸੀ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਮਹਿਮਾ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ ਚਿੰਨ ਚਿੰਨ ਸੁਰਤ ਸੰਵਾਰ ਲਾਰ ਦਿਰ ਕੇ ਰਹੋ ਤਨ ਮਨ ਦਰਪਨ ਮਾਂਝ ਸਾਜ ਸੁਰਤ ਸੇ ਗਹੋ ਲਗਨ ਲਗੇ ਲਖ ਸਾਰ ਤਾ ਪਾਇਆ ਹਾਰੇ ਸੰਤ ਚਰਨ ਕੀ ਧੂੜ ਨੂਰ ਦਰਸਾਇਆ.
ਬਟ ਵਾਟ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰਸ ਮੀਨ ਬਾਈ ਸੇਇੰਗ ਟੂ ਰੀਚ ਦ ਫੀਟ ਆਫ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ. They mean to say that after vacating from the 9 openings of the body, when you bring your attention behind the eyes, when you reach the 10th door, only then you reach the feet of the perfect master. Tulsi Sahib also says that once you reach there, constantly remain over there, go on enjoying at the feet of the perfect master. Tulsi says that only by remaining there and being there constantly can one get the peace.
So, Usain Guru Nanak Dev Ji ne keha hai, ਗਿਆਨ ਅੰਜਨ ਸੱਚ ਨੇਤਰੀ ਪਾਇਆ ਅਗਿਆਨ ਚਾਨਣ ਹੋਇਆ ਅਗਿਆਨ ਅੰਧੇਰ ਗਵਾਇਆ.
ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਹੈ ਸੈਡ ਦੈਟ ਆਫਟਰ ਰੀਚਿੰਗ ਦੈਰ ਵਨ ਗੈਟਸ ਦ ਲਾਈਟ ਆਫ ਦ ਨੌਲੇਜ ਐਂਡ ਗੈਟਿੰਗ ਦੈਟ ਲਾਈਟ ਆਫ ਦ ਨੌਲੇਜ ਵਨ ਇਜ਼ ਐਨਲਾਈਟਨਡ ਵਿਦਿਨ ਐਂਡ ਦ ਡਾਰਕਨੈਸ ਆਫ ਦ ਇਗਨੋਰੈਂਸ ਇਜ਼ ਰਿਮੂਵਡ.
ਜਦੋਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਸੱਚ ਰੂਪੀ ਸੁਰਮਾ ਅੱਖਾਂ ਵਿੱਚ ਪਾ ਲੈਂਦੇ ਹੈ, ਜੋ ਅਗਿਆਨਤਾ ਦਾ ਸਾਡੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਅੰਧੇਰਾ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਦੂਰ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਅੰਦਰ ਪ੍ਰਕਾਸ਼ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ.
When we apply the mascara of the truth in our eyes, then the darkness of the ignorance is removed and the light of the knowledge is manifested within us.
So, ਸਭ ਸੰਤਾਂ ਨੇ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੇ ਚਰਨਾਂ ਤੱਕ ਪਹੁੰਚੋ. ਸੇਵਕ ਦੀ ਡਿਊਟੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਸੀ ਇੱਥੋਂ ਤੱਕ ਪਹੁੰਚਣਾ ਹੈ. ਅੱਗੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੀ ਡਿਊਟੀ ਹੈ। ਅਗਰ ਕੋਈ ਸੇ ਬੱਚਾ ਸਕੂਲ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਟੀਚਰ ਅੱਗੇ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਮੌਜੂਦ ਮਿਲਦਾ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਪੜਾਉਂਦਾ ਹੈ।
ਸੋ ਆਲ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰਸ ਐਂਡ ਈਵਨ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਫਸਟ ਆਫ ਆਲ ਯੂ ਰੀਚ ਦ ਫੀਟ ਆਫ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ। Master Sawan Singh ji used to say that the disciples have certain responsibility. It is the duty, the responsibility of the disciple to reach the feet of the master. It is just like when the student goes to the school, the teacher is over there, and when the teacher sees that the student has arrived in the school, then it becomes his responsibility, his duty to teach him and to take him further. So in that way, it is our responsibility, our duty to first reach the feet of the master.
ਇਸ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਅਸੀਂ ਕੀ ਕਰਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਬਜਾਏ ਮਿਹਨਤ ਕਰਨ ਦੇ, ਤੀਸਰੇ ਤਿਲ ਸਾਡਾ ਜੋ ਸਕੂਲ ਆ ਉੱਥੇ ਪਹੁੰਚਣ ਦੀ ਬਜਾਏ ਅਸੀਂ ਅਰਦਾਸਾਂ ਕਰਨ ਤੇ ਜ਼ੋਰ ਦਿੰਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਬੇਨਤੀਆਂ ਕਰਨ ਤੇ ਜ਼ੋਰ ਦਿੰਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਕਿ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਜੀ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਦਇਆ ਕਰੋ, ਤੁਸੀਂ ਕਰਾਓ।
ਬਟ ਵਾਟ ਡੂ ਵੀ ਯੂਜੂਲੀ ਡੂ ਇਨਸਟੈਡ ਆਫ ਰੀਚਿੰਗ ਦ ਤੀਸਰਾ ਤਿਲ ਦ ਥਰਡ ਆਏ ਇਨਸਟੈਡ ਆਫ ਰੀਚਿੰਗ ਦ ਸਕੂਲ ਵੇਅਰ ਵੀ ਆਰ ਸਪੋਜ਼ਡ ਟੂ ਗੋ We sit here and we make the prayers, we make the request, we request the master that, oh master, you do this for us, you take us there.
ਮੈਂ ਆਪਣੀ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਦੀ ਮਿਸਾਲ ਦੱਸਦਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹਾਂ। ਜਦ ਮੈਂ ਰੈਰਸ ਦਾ ਕੋਰਸ ਪੂਨੇ ਪਾਸ ਕੀਤਾ, ਉੱਥੋਂ ਦੇ ਜਿਹੜੇ ਇੰਸਟ੍ਰਕਟਰ ਸਨ ਉਹ ਬੜੇ ਸਖਤ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਸਨ, ਕਿਸੇ ਨਾਲ ਕੋਈ ਲਿਹਾਜ਼ ਨਹੀਂ ਰੱਖਦੇ ਸੀਗੇ। ਉਹ ਆਮ ਤੌਰ ਤੇ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਸੀਗੇ ਕਿ ਵੀ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਬਿਸਤਰੀ ਵਿੱਚ ਰੱਸੀ ਪਾ ਕੇ ਫੇਰ ਸਕੂਲ ਅੰਦਰ ਆਓ, ਪਤਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਇੱਥੇ ਹੁਕਮ ਮਿਲ ਜਾਵੇ ਵੀ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਆਪਣੀ ਆਰਮੀ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਰਿਪੋਰਟ ਕਰੋ। ਉਹ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਸੀਗੇ ਕਿ ਅਸੀਂ ਕਿਸੇ ਦੇਵੀ ਦੇਵਤੇ ਨੂੰ ਨਹੀਂ ਮੰਨਦੇਗੇ, ਜਿਹੜੀਆਂ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਪ੍ਰਾਰਥਨਾ ਕਰਕੇ ਆਏ ਹੋ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਤਾਂ ਕੰਮ ਦੀ ਲੋੜ ਹੈ। ਸੋ ਪਿਆਰਿਓ, ਜਦ ਦੁਨਿਆਵੀ ਟੀਚਰ ਵੀ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਵੀ ਕੰਮ ਦੀ ਕਦਰ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਬੇਨਤੀਆਂ ਨੂੰ ਪ੍ਰਵਾਨ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰਦਾ ਗਾ, ਤੋ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਰੂਹਾਨੀਅਤ ਦਾ ਮਸਲਾ ਹੈ ਇਹ ਤਾਂ ਬੜਾ ਹੀ ਮਿਹਨਤ ਮੰਗਦਾ ਹੈ, ਬੜਾ ਹੀ ਪਿਆਰ ਮੰਗਦਾ ਹੈ।
Often I talk about when I was in the army and in the city of Pune, when I was doing the course of the wireless, over there the instructors used to tell us that when you come to the school, then you should be all packed, you should have your backpack on your back, because you don't know that when you will be ordered to go and join your army. Also they used to say that we don't believe in the gods and goddesses whom you have prayed before coming here. We believe in the work which we have given you to do. So first you should do your work and then you should come to the school. So when the worldly teachers also expect us to do our homework, when they expect that we should do the work and then go to the school, then we can very well imagine that the matter of spirituality is even more important. So just like the worldly teachers expect us to do our work, in the same way our master also expects us to do the work which he has given to us.
ਉਹ ਸਕੂਲ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਜਦੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੇ ਚਰਨਾਂ ਤੱਕ ਪਹੁੰਚਦਾ ਹੈ, ਜੋ ਵੀ ਇਹ ਸਵਾਲ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੇ ਸਾਹਮਣੇ ਹੋ ਕੇ ਉਹਦਾ ਸਹੀ ਜਵਾਬ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ। ਉਸ ਜਿਹੜੇ ਅਸੀਂ ਦਿਨ ਰਾਤ ਹੁਣ ਸਵਾਲ ਕਰ ਰਹੇ ਹਾਂ, ਜਵਾਬ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਹੁਣ ਵੀ ਅੰਦਰੋਂ ਮਿਲਦਾ ਹੈ, ਇਹਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਕੋਈ ਸ਼ੱਕ ਨਹੀਂ ਗਾ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਅਸੀਂ ਆਪਣੇ ਸਵਾਲ ਤਾਂ ਉਠਾਈ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਗੁਰੂ ਦਾ ਜਵਾਬ ਨਹੀਂ ਸੁਣਦੇ ਅਸੀਂ ਵੀ ਉਹ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਹਾਂ ਚਾਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਜਾਂ ਨਾ ਚਾਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ।
ਸੋ ਵੈਨ ਦ ਡਿਸਾਈਪਲ ਰੀਚਸ ਦੀ ਇਨਰ ਸਕੂਲ ਐਟ ਦ ਫੀਟ ਆਫ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ, ਵਾਟ ਐਵਰ ਕੁਐਸਚਨਸ ਹੀ ਮੇ ਪੁੱਟ ਟੂ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਵਿਲ ਆਨਸਰ ਹਿਸ ਕੁਐਸਚਨਸ ਈਵਨ ਨਾਓ We are making the questions, we are asking the questions to the master and he is replying to us. But since we have not reached where the master is present, that is why we are not able to listen the answer which he is giving to our questions. Whether we don't know whether the questions we have asked the master, whether he is saying yes or no.
So Swami Ji Maharaj kehnde hai, Guru darsh, Guru bachan karo adhara, ki jo Guru utthe bachan bolda hai, oh thwadi jindagi da. ਆਸਰਾ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਤੁਹਾਡੀ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਦਾ ਪਾਣੀ ਹੈ। ਉੱਥੇ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਇਹ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਿ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਘੰਟੇ ਪਿੱਛੋਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੇਖਣਾ ਜਾਂ 5 ਮਿੰਟ ਬਾਅਦ ਦੇਖਣਾ ਹੈ ਜਾਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਭੱਜ ਕੇ ਜਾਣਾ ਹੈ, ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਦਿਨ ਰਾਤ ਮਨਮੋਹਣੀ ਸੂਰਤ ਨੂੰ ਦੇਖ ਸਕਦੇ ਹੋ, ਉਹ ਤੁਹਾਡੇ ਨਾਲ ਫਿਰਦਾ ਹੈ। ਸਚਿਆਈ ਤੇ ਇਹ ਹੈ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਸੌ ਜਾਓਗੇ, ਉਹ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਪੱਖਾ ਚੱਲਣ ਤੱਕ ਵੀ ਜਾਏਗਾ।
ਸੋ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਯੂ ਮੇਕ ਦ ਵਰਡਸ ਆਫ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਐਸ ਯੂਅਰ ਟਰੂ ਸਪੋਰਟ। ਹੀ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਆਲਵੇਸ ਰਿਲਾਈ ਔਨ ਦ ਵਰਡਸ ਆਫ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ and whatever he is saying you accept that you make it as the water and the bread of your life and don't think that you have to go and see him or you have to listen to him after 1 hour or 2 hours you should make it a point that you always want to see him you always want to be with him in fact when you will develop this kind of attitude when you will go within and always be with him then he will always be with you he will always accompany you and he will do every single thing for you whenever you will feel hot he will be willing and he will be ready there even to fan you
ਪਲਟੋ ਸਹਿ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੀ ਤਰਫੋਂ ਹੋਉਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਟਲੇ ਪਸੀਨਾ ਸੰਤ ਟਲੇ ਮੇਰਾ ਲਹੂ ਹੈ
ਪਲਟੋ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਸੇਜ਼ ਹੀ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਗੋਡ ਆਲਮਾਈਟੀ ਸੇਜ਼ that when one of my devotee or when the saint perspires, I feel as if I am losing the blood.
Gur bachan karo adhara Gur darsh niharo sara Gur ki gat agam apara Gur astat karo
ਪਿਆਰ ਨਾਲ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੀ ਮਹਿਮਾ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੀ ਗਤੀ ਬਿਆਨ ਹੀ ਨਿਜਵਾਨ ਨੂੰ ਤਾਕਤ ਹੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਿ ਜਿਹੜੀ ਕਰ ਸਕੇ
Lovingly he says that our tongue doesn't have the capacity, our tongue doesn't have the strength through which she can utter the glory, the importance of the Master.
ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਅਲੱਗ ਹੈ ਅਗਮ ਹੈ ਅਗੋਚਰ ਹੈ ਅਦ੍ਰਿਸ਼ਟ ਹੈ ਅਸੀਂ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਦੇਖ ਨਹੀਂ ਸਕਦੇਗੇ
Because God Almighty is invisible one, he is the unreachable one, unfathomable one, and we cannot see him with our eyes.
ਤੋ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਉਹ ਪਾਂਡਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਵਜੂਦ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਜਿਸ ਨੇ ਆਪਣੀ ਅੱਖਾਂ ਨਾਲ ਉਹ ਪ੍ਰਭੂ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨੂੰ ਆਪਣੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੀ ਦਇਆ ਨਾਲ ਦੇਖਿਆ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ
ਸੋ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਬੀਇੰਗ ਹੀ ਇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਵੈਸਲ ਹੂ ਹੈਸ ਸੀਨ ਗੋਡ ਆਲਮਾਈਟੀ ਵਿਦ ਹਿਸ ਓਨ ਆਈਜ਼ ਥਰੂ ਦ ਗ੍ਰੇਸ ਆਫ ਹਿਸ ਮਾਸਟਰ
ਸੰਤ ਝੂਠ ਨਹੀਂ ਬੋਲਦੇ ਗਏ ਆਪਣੀ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੀ ਦਇਆ ਨਾਲ ਉਹ ਸੱਚ ਬੋਲਦੇ ਆ ਜੋ ਬੋਲਦੇ ਆ ਉਹੀ ਉਹ ਬਿਆਨ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ
ਮਾਸਟਰਸ ਡੂ ਨਾਟ ਲਾਈ ਵਟਐਵਰ ਦੇ ਸਪੀਕ ਦੈਟ ਇਜ਼ ਵੈਰੀ ਟਰੂ And whatever they have seen with the grace of their master, they describe or they mention only those things.
ਸੰਤਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਇਸੇ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਸੰਸਾਰ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਆਉਣਾ ਪੈਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਉਹ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਦ੍ਰਿਸ਼ਟ ਹੈ ਉਹਦਾ ਕੋਈ ਰੰਗ ਰੂਪ ਰੇਖ ਭੇਖ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਗਾ ਅਸੀਂ ਕਿਸੇ ਵੀ ਸਰੂਪ ਅਸੀਂ ਕਿਹੜੇ ਸਰੂਪ ਦਾ ਧਿਆਨ ਧਾਰੀਏ ਇਸ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਉਹ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਆਪਦੇ ਪਿਆਰੇ ਬੱਚਿਆਂ ਨੂੰ ਸੰਸਾਰ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਭੇਜਦਾ ਹੈ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਦੱਸਦੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਸੀਗੇ ਕਿ ਇੱਕ ਦਿਨ ਰਾਤ ਦਾ ਟਾਈਮ ਸੀਗਾ ਉਹ ਆਪਣੇ ਪਿਆਰੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੇਵ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਸਾਵਣ ਦੀ ਲੱਤਾਂ ਕੁੱਟ ਰਹੇ ਸਨ ਉਹ ਔਰ ਡਾਕਟਰ ਜਾਨਸ਼ਨ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਪੁੱਛਿਆ ਕਿ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਜੀ ਅੰਦਰ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਦਾ ਸਰੂਪ ਹੈ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਹੱਸ ਕੇ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਬਈ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਸਿੰਘ ਤੂੰ ਦੇਖ ਲੈ ਅੰਦਰ ਆਹ ਹੀ ਕੁਛ ਹੋਏਗਾ ਆਹ ਹੀ ਨਕਸ਼ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੈ
ਦਿਸ ਇਜ਼ ਦ ਰੀਜ਼ਨ ਵਾਈ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰਸ ਹੈਵ ਟੂ ਕਮ ਇਨਟੂ ਦਿਸ ਵਰਲਡ Because God Almighty is the invisible one and we do not know that what form or what outline or what color he has. So how can we devote ourselves to the one whom we have not seen? So this is the reason why the masters come in this world. Once beloved Lord Kripal Singh along with Dr. Johnson were giving massage to Master Sawan Singh and Master Kripal Singh asked Baba Sawan Singh that Master, what is the form like in the within? Baba Sawan Singh replied that you look at me Kripal Singh. In the within also you will find the same form, the same features, the same outline. So, since we do not know that what God looks like, that is why in order to show us, in order to make us do the devotion of God, the masters come in this world and they tell us that what God looks like.
ਜਦ ਇੱਕ ਵਾਰੀ ਅਸੀਂ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੀ ਦਇਆ ਨੂੰ ਪ੍ਰਾਪਤ ਕਰ ਲੈਂਦੇ
That talk was given in 1995, September 1st in Australia. Her closing bhajan is on... Page 3. Aja Pyare, come, beloved Satguru, come and show me your face, your simple, simple face, your beloved form. In your face is seen the glory and radiance of God. You are the one who attracts my heart. Come, your beautiful forehead, the white turban, light shines from all parts. Your eyes are full with cups of love, and your eyebrows are emitting light. Your hair is like silken threads from which the radiance of God flashes. On each hair of your head, I sacrifice both the worlds. Seeing the beautiful face and listening to the dhun, I get the mark of the Master. Your delicious words and sweet voice finish the heat of my heart. Your pure beard flows down your chest, becoming whiter and whiter, showering light. The color of Nam destroys ego. You are the one who teaches humility. Come, beloved Satguru, come and show me your face. And this bhajan, of course, was written by Sant Kripal Singh Ji, to his master Baba Sawan Singh.
Satguru aja apani surata menu vakaja aja piyae Satguru aja apani surata menu vakaja Sadi surata teri piari piari murata teri Sidi sadi surata teri piari piari Shera Rabada Jalava Dise Dila Nulubavanava Lehe Aja Aja Piyare Satguru Aja Apani surata menu vakaja sonamata chiti pagari nura chamake hava viva lagari sonamata Chitipagari Nurachamake Harivalagari Ankiya Prema Pihale Variya Parote Nura Palate Piyare Satguru Aja Apani Surata Menu Vakaja Aja Piyare Satguru Aja Apani Surata Julefa Teria Reshamatara Nura Ilahi Diade Nachamakara Julefa Teria Reshamatara Nura ilahi diyate nachamakara Ika ika bala sira deuto Dove alama baraha aja Aja piya Satguru Aja Apani Surata Menu Vakaja Aja Piyare Satguru Aja Apani Surata Menu Vakaja Mukara Suhava Sahejaduna Bani Suna Suna Pavaka Tanishani
Satguru, come and show me your face, your simple, simple face, your beloved form. In your face is seen the glory and radiance of God. You are the one who attracts my heart. Come, beloved Satguru, come and show me your face. Right, we have a couple of announcements, which we will now hear.
On the way in today, when Charlotte and I were driving into Sevastopol, it was such a glorious spring morning. The thought came to me that it was in 1974, nearly 50 years ago, when Charlotte and I were married and had our little house on Robinson Road, that we first started holding satsang in Sevastopol. And Sanchi came three times to Sevastopol. And the satsang has continued on every week for almost 50 years. There's been many wonderful memories and many wonderful friends, dear souls, that have been a part of this group. But I have to say, the most surprising addition was when Russell came. And you all know that Russell is an East Coast, New Hampshire guy, right? Never in a million years could anyone ever have predicted that his karmic path would not just lead to California, which it in the Bay Area where he was for many years, but then 12 years ago moving into our group and to Sevastopol. I just want to express my appreciation for his selflessness and how much he has given to our group and to each one of us and become such a friend. And during this time, we also got to witness. Here he's undertaken this, I had this all written up, but I'm kind of winging it here. Let me read this one section. Over the years, you have graciously conducted satsang twice a month, and for many years, when you'd conducted the monthly comparative religions class, And for several years, you also participated in the men's discussion group and, of course, in the programs at Shama's Retreat. I must say, in recent years, it is both most amazing to witness that you were able to write the book Stumbling Towards God. Rather amazing watching this ambitious idea gradually become a reality. Volume 1, 537 pages, chronicling your time with Master Kripal, and 544 pages about your years with Sanchi. And this is done at a time in life when most people slow down, and you were willing to undertake this huge project, and amazingly were able to complete it. Charlotte and I were fortunate enough to have a front row seat for many of those writing days. We have fond memories of your extended stays at Shama's Retreat while you were writing the first volume. And so here we are celebrating all that and celebrating you and being so appreciative as you enter your 88th year. Thank you so much for being here with us and for being part of our Sebastopol family and quite simply being such a wonderful friend to us all.
Works both ways. I've been extremely fortunate and very happy to have found so many brothers and sisters here in California who have treated me with great kindness and love, and I appreciate that very much. You know, we never know what we're supposed to do at any given time, or, you know, we can't really foresee the future at all, and there's no point in even trying, but I agree that I would have been extremely skeptical if anyone had told me that I would spend the last 20 years or so in California. I'm a New Englander, born and bred, well, not born, I was actually born in Florida, but that was just a 6 month hiatus. And, you know, a New Englander through and through. Yet here I am. Well, it's been great, and I love all of you. You've been extremely kind to me, and I appreciate it very, very much. So it does work both ways. And, yeah, the time at Shema's, Dawn mentioned, I did start writing up there. I wrote a very significant part of the first volume up there. I also subsequently worked on other parts and did some editing too up there. I loved it. I loved being up there. I loved writing up there. I loved walking from the Langar up to the Mackens house for lunch every day. There was a jackrabbit that used to sit under the oak tree there, and every day I would see him in the same place, just sitting there. God knows what it means. I have no idea, but he was always there. And I always saw him, looked forward to seeing him every day. Well, you know, we do what we have to do. We go where we're supposed to go. As Sawan Singh said, when we heard today, I'm sure the Satguru can make the stones do his work. So if any of us do any work that is pleasing to him, it is entirely his grace. And I will tell you how those books, especially at the end, the last few years, how on earth they got finished is beyond me. I have almost no memory of what was involved. I was very sick much of that time. Somehow or other, the book kept on going, and Master did what he did. And it didn't have much to do with me, not at the end. Anyway, enough about all that. But I'm very, very grateful to him who has brought me here and who has guided my life, who has given me a wonderful companion, my dear wife Claudia, who would love to be here today and who said to give her love to everybody. And she has been, as most of you know, very sick, is why she's not able to get out much. She has been a wonderful, wonderful companion to me. I love her dearly. And I have grateful to Master for having given her to me after my first wonderful companion, whom I loved very much, and who was also very wonderful to me after she left the body. So I've been doubly blessed in that way, too. And of course, Claudia is the reason why I came out here. She's a California girl. I remember a song that used to be popular. I used to hear it in the 60s, My California Girl's All Right. I can't remember the rest of it. But it was an uptight Easterner, got initiated into all kinds of hip stuff by way of his California Girl. Dylan and Thoreau and the Underground, among other things. Anyway, I owe Claudia a lot, and I'm grateful to Master for giving her to me. I mean, oh, there's 500 pages to each book. You know, they're weighty tomes, as they say, and I don't blame anyone for not reading them all the way through. They're so enormously long. But anyway, some of us are able to do it. God bless us all.